Welcoming to the program the authors of a terrific new book entitled Diagnosed, Inspirational Stories After an Alarming Medical Diagnosis. We are joined by Mark and Mary Kay Liston. Thank you both for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks, Rich. We're so excited to be here. What an honor to be on your show. We've been listening and looking at some of the guests you've had in the past, so thank you so much for inviting us.
Well, we're glad you won't have to spin the wheel.
We are very happy to have you here with us. The book is so interesting to me because we were talking about it yesterday on the show. You always wonder, yeah, what would you do? How would you respond if you got that somewhat frightening diagnosis? And you live that, Mark. And of course, what made your diagnosis of lung cancer so shocking is the fact that you were a non-smoker, and as you point out, hadn't really been exposed to secondhand smoke much.
No, not at all. Not my whole life. I worked in an office. So it was very, very scary, quite frankly, when they say, Mark, you've got lung cancer. Oh, no. So I looked at Mary Kay, and we shed a tear or two, said a quick prayer, and said, okay, it's up to you, Lord, because we can't handle this one.
Right.
And that's how it started.
And what was it that also made you turn immediately to journaling, to writing down everything that was going on, to have that record?
I started writing in high school. I like to write. I really do. And when Mary Kay and I met about 20 years ago, everything I wrote, she fixed and made it look a whole lot better, to the point, Rich, where I'd write something and she'd go through it, make about 57 changes, give it back to me, and she said, what do you think? I said, didn't make any changes, huh? No, I made quite a few changes.
So we make a good team.
Yeah, we really do.
Well, and obviously you made a good team in dealing with this medical situation. Mary Kay, what was your first thought when Mark was diagnosed?
It was shocking. We were sitting in an ER room, and the ER doctor's the one who told us, and he said, you better get yourself an oncologist. We're like, holy smokes, how does one get an oncologist? We just didn't have a clue. So we were in Ohio at the time. We're snowbirds. We were scheduled to go back to Florida in a month or two, but we called our primary care doctor in Florida, and she said, get your butts back to Florida because you don't need to be breathing that cold Ohio air if you're dealing with something in your lungs. So when we got to Florida, that's when our doctors started putting together the next steps. And as long as you have next steps, and that's one of the great things about Mark's journaling, is we know what the next step's going to be, so we just have to think about that far in the future.
And Mark, you were what I think of as young at the time, as someone who's 65 myself. You were, what, 68 when you were diagnosed?
Yeah, that's pretty young, isn't it?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. So I look back on it, Rich, and I lived a nice life. I lived a great life. I had a wonderful job before retirement. Met Mary Kay 20 years before. We had fun together. We loved being grandparents, so, which meant we had to move and all of a sudden become snowbirds and move to Florida half the year and move to Ohio half the year only because there's kids there. And we did that. And as doing that, our life was set. We had a cruise or two coming up, and everything was looking good until those three words, you've got cancer.
Right.
And it changes one. It changes one to the point where the very next day, I started journaling, just my private thoughts. Mary Kay had no idea. I'd get up about an hour before her, and I'd start writing. Some days it was a paragraph. Some days it was a sentence. Some days it was a small story, short story. But in doing that, it made me think back on things in the past. It made me think back on what it's like being a father of three 40-year-olds, if I've done a good job or not helping raise them. It made me look to the future. It made me think about, I wonder what Mary Kay's thinking right now. You know, I'm not afraid to move on. I'm not afraid to go. But if I die, what happens to Mary Kay? Besides kids, you know, there's no one else. She's a Navy brat. So all of her sibs are all over the country. So what's going to happen? Will she have one house? Will she have two houses? Now, I didn't write those things, but those are my private thoughts.
Well, your 76-day journey is an incredible journey to read, and fortunately has a very happy ending for you. Now, what inspired you you both to reach out and hear the stories of other people who got similar diagnoses, either themselves or for loved ones?
Oh, that's an easy one. January 11th last year, Rich, I woke up and I either had a vision, I heard a message, and it was, "Mark, this book can't be about you." Well, the whole time, it was my story. But when I heard that, I did the exact thing that a smart person does. I went to Facebook, and what I did, an hour later, I put a note on Facebook saying, "Hey, we're writing a book about cancer, about other alarming medical diseases. If you are a survivor, if you have someone in your family and you help them out, if you are anything to do with cancer surviving or had it or beat it, let me know." And I looked at Mary Kay and I said, well, I did it. And I said, imagine we'll get two or three people that respond back. By that night, there were 20 people that wanted to be included.
Wow.
And that just blew my socks off. Like, okay, now it's time to include other people. And that's exactly when we started writing about other people, starting with the people we got in contact with on Facebook. And 6 months later, the book is published.
Well, and it's an incredible array of people and the diseases that they have dealt with or family members have dealt with. Did you find that most people had a similar initial reaction to yours when they got the news?
Oh, of course. Up until just recently, if you heard the big C or you need a transplant or something equally alarming, you're thinking, "I'm going to die." And that may have been the case years ago, tens, decades ago, but modern medicine has come so far that it's not a death sentence any longer. It still scares you, but it's not a death sentence. So you can take comfort in that. And I think that's one of the things that the book illustrates. If somebody gets a diagnosis similar to any of those 15 cancers detailed in the book or the other ailments detailed in the book, then you can rest assured that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and let me see how somebody's dealt with it.
We're talking with Mark and Mary Kay Liston. Their book is Diagnosed, Inspirational Stories After an Alarming Medical Diagnosis. Your faith sustained you during this journey. Was it as strong going into this battle as it became at the end?
It was, and I think that's what made it much easier for us. And what we found in writing these stories, I didn't say that this had to be a faith-based book. We didn't do anything. As we interviewed different people, I didn't ask specific questions. But in interviewing these people, they volunteered. They volunteered what they went through, what it was like to get chemo, what it was like to get radiation. Those people that had alternative treatments, including some holistic methods, they just told me. And with that, we also found out that their faith really helped them in almost 90% of the time.
And some people's faith was different from our faith, but it was faith. And it was, and the faith led to hope, and the hope led to a more positive attitude, which we discovered is truly the key to getting through something like this.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's devastating when you get that diagnosis for yourself, but my gosh, as a parent, reading the story of Thomas at age 4, or Mikey, who was 15, I can't even imagine as a parent. And yet that's what you do, right? As a parent, you find that reservoir of strength because you know your kids need that from you.
Yes, exactly. Not only to emotionally support them, but in the case of Thomas, the 4-year-old, I love reading about how his dad became the one who was the statistician, and he kept Excel spreadsheets, all of the treatments and what was next and what was going on. Mom is the one who communicated with the medical professionals. And so they divided and conquered so that they could take the very best care they could of their son and keep a handle on some control of something, because when this occurs to your 4-year-old, you lose control.
Rich, I think there's something else in that too. Mary Kay went with every medical appointment that I had. And what I found was I didn't hear anything that the doctor said technically. She did. And she'd write it down and she'd ask them how to spell it. That way, we always knew what was going to happen, what had to happen next. And all I knew was, well, I think I have to go to the doctor on the 11th.
Right. And I think that's one of the things we learned was bring someone with you to the doctor's office so that they can take notes and listen, another set of ears listening, because sometimes the news that you're hearing is upsetting or alarming, or your brain can't comprehend it.
And you talked about that positive attitude, and I was so impressed and I think inspired by the fact that obviously there are down days, but you managed to keep your sense of humor about you.
Yeah, it became easier that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm usually a very positive person, and I enjoy having a good sense of humor, but that made the whole thing easier. You know, if you can make a joke out of it, hey, I feel good today, guys. Don't worry about me today. And then after the fact, when they said, well, what's in your lungs right now? I don't know. It's not cancer. That's all I care about.
How important for people when they have a diagnosis like this for themselves or their family, how important is that support system of, sure, spouses, but also friends and associates?
Oh, my goodness. We talked to a lot of people whose first instinct was to ghost their friends, because they didn't want to make them uncomfortable. They didn't know what to tell their friends about what was going on. And so they deprived themselves of love and support from people who, if they knew, would willingly offer it. We learned that it's important to spread the word, to look for love, and to freely and readily accept it, because it makes the journey better. We learned that should you be with somebody who's struggling through a difficult medical time, please don't just say, my thoughts and prayers are with you. That's nice, but it's sort of hollow. If you want to pray for somebody, pray with them right then. We found ourselves doing that with friends recently who are going through a difficult time, and before we hung up the phone, we'd say, well, let's say a prayer. That's much more impactful, I believe, than you're in my thoughts and prayers, which again is nice. If you find that you're dealing with somebody who is newly sick, is on their journey, please don't put the burden on them by saying, let me know if I can help. Because the burden then on the sick person is, gee, I wonder to what level this person wants to help. Rather, offer suggestions. I want to bring a meal to your family next week. Which day works best? I'd like to take you to your doctor's appointment. Which day works best? Let me please fill your medical prescriptions, let me get you some food, let me just come and sit with you, and we can just hold hands and be quiet. Whatever, but let them know to what level you want to help so that they can then accept that freely, because the giving is the blessing, and let them receive that blessing.
Well, that's a wonderful idea.
I was going to say, most of us rich don't know how to do this.
Right.
And people, sinners, I am. Good friend of mine had pancreatic cancer. I was afraid to call him because I didn't know what to say. He died. And the biggest angst I had, and still think about to this day, I should have called Ken. He was my roommate at one point. He taught me how to play baseball when I was 8 years old. And yet, I didn't call him along the way and just say, Ken, I just want to tell you, I love you. Now, my next friend that had pancreatic cancer, I think I bugged him too much, but I just wanted to know that I loved him. Another guy that had a different type of cancer and passed, what I did, if you look at a picture of my face, there's something down around my chin. I don't know what we call it these days. We used to call it, it's not a Fu Manchu, it's a goatee. Well, it used to be a goatee. You probably remember those days. But I grew one, and I still have it because of him. So there was always something, and I remember telling him, hey, Mark, I want to come see you. You have to let me know when I can. Can I come today? No, not today. Can I come later? It's not going to work this month. So I'd call him. I said, remember, I want to come down and see you. One day he called me, or I was talking to him, I should say, and he said, hey, next time you're in Florida, why don't you come down and visit? And I looked at Mary Kay, and I said, Mark's dying. Mm-hmm. And the next trip I could, I went down there and spent a couple of days with him, and I'm so glad that I did. I felt so much better because all I had to do was sit, talk to him. We had tea. We talked about what it's like. We talked about, is it better? It's weird. We talked about, is it better to know you're going to die and spend time, or have, like, my father died of a heart attack immediately when I'm in eighth grade. So which is better? Which is a better way to do it? And he explained to me that knowing helped him so much because he started to enjoy things. He started to sit on the lanai in the morning and just have coffee with his wife. He noticed things he never noticed before. I never thought of that stuff. So getting these lessons in life and being able to look back in life, as I did when I was journaling, really gave me a better clue on what to do in the future. And then when I listened to some of the folks in the book say what they said, it's like, I'm getting better at this, but boy, I sure sucked at one point.
Well, everybody's going to deal with this at some point in their lives, either themselves or their family. What do you hope people take away from this book?
A couple of things. The power of prayer, I think, is really powerful. And the people who relied on their faith found that sharing the burden with God, however they see him, made their journey easier. It also helped them keep positive, which is really important. A positive attitude is important. The be involved with people, I can't overemphasize that. Be involved specifically. If you get an opportunity to join a meal train with a friend or an acquaintance, do it. It makes you feel better, and it also really provides value.
Another thing, too, I was talking to a cancer survivor the other day, and she said, someone told me one time as I'm going through it, I know exactly how you feel. And she said, I got angry. She said, oh, when did you have cancer? When did you have the type of cancer I had? And they just looked at her. And she said, you don't know what I'm going through. You have no idea what I'm going through. And boy, that could hit home. And the other thing she mentioned was there's so many people that say, either you're going to be fine. Don't say that. You don't know. The other thing with that, too, Rich, is that some people think they're being punished. You know, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, I got divorced. I shouldn't have got divorced. Mm-hmm. God's punishing me for that. I hurt my kids because of this. You're not being punished. It happened. So those three or four things that we just talked about really are great excerpts from the book.
Well, thank you for all you've done to turn this scary diagnosis into a positive and to share all of these stories. It is an amazing journey. It's been great to talk with you both this afternoon. The book is called Diagnosed: Inspirational Stories After an Alarming Medical Diagnosis. Mark, Mary Kay Liston, the authors, thank you so much for being with us. We wish you much good health and continued success going forward. And thanks again for making time with us today.
Thank you so much, Rich. And we do have a website, diagnosedbook.com, that people can go there and find out more about us and take them directly to how to buy the book. And the last thing I'd like to leave you with is we were just in Florida with Idalia. We do know what you're going through and what you anticipate. And we wish you the best.
Oh, thank you so much. Be well. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
That's Mark and Mary Kay Liston with us here on Downtown.